Thanks, Pastor Perry and the church for a prayer. Shalom, brother and sister in Christ. It is a joy and privilege for me to worship with you today at XICF. And this is my first time preaching, and I'm truly thankful for the invitations and for the opportunity to share the Word of God together with you. And this morning, I would like to begin with two simple questions. The first one, is God still speaking today? And if He is still speaking today, how do we listen to His voice today? Does listening to God's voice mean to listen in an audible way, that we can listen clearly by ear? Is it listening in a dramatic way, with thunders and lightning? Is it mainly about being moved emotionally? But before we answer these questions from our own feelings and our own experiences, we need to come back to the Scripture. Because the most important question is not first, how do I feel God is saying, but what has God said in His Word? So today we'll learn from a person named Samuel how he received the calling from the Lord and how he responded. And the title for the sermon today is Hearing from the Lord, a Case of Samuel. And before that, let us once again let us widen our hearts and let us pray. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we need you, Jesus. As we're going to read your words, we ask you, O God, to quieten our hearts before you. Lord, help us, O God. For so many days of our life, we have been overwhelmed with the problem of this world. We have been bombarded by all the information from this world. Lord, we are used to checking messages, Lord. We are used to scrolling our phones, O God. Lord, we need to set our time apart to listen to your words. Help us, O God, to cultivate a habit, to have the anticipations for every Sunday to come before you, to learn from you, O God. Help us, Lord, to cultivate the habit that we come before you every day of our life, set times apart, early in the morning and late at night, O God, to listen to your words, O God, Jesus. Lord, help us, O God, to accustom our life with such habits. Lord, often we felt excited when somebody messages us, often when somebody likes in our status in Facebook, in Instagram. Lord, help us, O God, to have the greatest and deepest joy in your words. Lord, help us, O God, to be ready to listen to your words. Lord, use me, O God, as a broken instrument to bring forth your words. Lord, speak, O God, to us. Use me, O Lord, a broken vessel, and help us, O God, that our focus is never on anyone, but on Jesus Christ. Lord, we need you. We need you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies upon our life. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let us read together Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 11. 1, 2, 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The Lamb of God had not yet gone up, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here I am. And ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he ran and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. My son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." My first point is be faithful to serve under his word. Verse 1 says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision." Now this is a very simple sentence. Often we overlook it. But it's very important. Before Samuel heard the voice of the Lord by ears, he was already serving in the house of the Lord. Now we might ask, I suppose many churches, I suppose even in XICF, it is very good practice for all of us to observe the believers, to observe the newcomers, to see whether the newcomers have truly believed in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't accept anyone to serve as an usher. We won't accept anyone to serve as worship leaders. And some churches, even good, go to the extent that they won't accept anyone to serve as a cleaner unless that person is a born-again Christian examined by the church. So here there's the question. Was Samuel a believer when he came to serve in the temple of the Lord in Shiloh? Now to answer that, we need to know one thing. To serve in the Lord's house was to serve according to the Lord's words. It's in Numbers chapter 3, Numbers chapter 18, and Leviticus chapter 24, verse 3. We need to know one thing. Samuel was a Levite. And he was under the training of the priest Eli to perform some Levite duty and also as an apprentice servant, or we call it in term as an intern, as a servant to serve his boss. But ultimately, the Bible records he is serving the Lord. He is serving the Lord. So he was under the training of the priest Eli. He needed to go to tend the lamb, according to Leviticus chapter 24. He needed to guard all the furnishings of the tent of meeting. By the way, tending the lamb means to light the lamb, to make sure the lamb is burning from the evening to morning. So these are the daily chores, the daily duties that Samuel needs to do. And bear in mind, this is not a duty come from the very mouth of the priest Eli. This was not a very simple duty, comes from the word from Pastor Perry to ask you to open and close the door. No. This is a very duty recorded in the Word of God. In other words, before Samuel heard the audible voice of the Lord, he has known the Word of God. As he needs to study the Torah, he needs to serve according to the Torah, he shouldn't simply offer sacrifices as he likes. No, he needs to follow strictly according to the very words of God in Torah, the five books and the Bible. And not only had knowledge, he knew the law by heart. Now how do we know Samuel knew the law of God by heart, not just had knowledge, not just how to tend the lamb, how to guard the furnishing, how to guard all the things in the tent of meeting? No, he knows the very word of God by heart. Let us read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. "Now the boy Samuel continued to grow both in stature and his favor in the Lord and also with man. Now, growing in favor with the Lord and also with man is actually a fulfillment of the promise in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 4. He says, let us read together. 1, 2, 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the table of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. This is a very promise. And Samuel was enjoying the fruit of the promise written in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 4. And not only that, when we say the boy Samuel was in a favor with the Lord and also with man, anyone else is in your head now as you read this verse. Who do you remember? The person that's recorded in the Bible, where the Bible used the very same similar phrase to describe that person. Who was the boy? Jesus. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40, the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And in verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, this is very important. If you look carefully in between chapter 2, verse 40 and verse 52, there is an episode, a narrative that Jesus, the boy Jesus, was present in the temple of God, asking, questioning the teachers and answering the teachers, the rabbis, the law of the Lord. He has the wisdom. And the wisdom is centered in the Word of God, the Torah, the law. Proverbs chapter 7, it says, write the law in your heart, on the tables of your heart. Proverbs chapter 3 says, let not love and faithfulness leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tables of your heart. In other words, if you combine chapter 7 and chapter 3, when we truly writing the law of the Lord in our heart, by heart, we are actually writing love and faithfulness on the tables of our hearts. In other words, when Samuel, when he was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, he was doing with the knowledge in his head and a true knowledge in his heart. He knew the law of the Lord by heart. Now, this is very important. I'm very glad today when I arrived at church at 9 o'clock and the worship team start arriving soon later and they start practicing singing the song. They sing and practice by heart, and all the songs that they have chosen today are very words-oriented, saturated with the Word of the Lord. And if you sing it by heart, we truly mean what we sang. Jesus is our firm foundation. We are marching to Zion. If we truly meant every word that we sang, and all the words is taken from the Scripture, deducted from the Scripture, we are actually ministering on the foundations of the words. Now, it's very easy for us to relate with worship, because worship song has to be word saturated. What about last week when you have lunch with the women? Now, I don't have the lunch with the women, of course. As a man, we need to be as a man, truly a man. Yes, there's a very good emphasis. Now, nevertheless, Pastor Perry encouraged the men, the brothers, to bring to support the women, the ladies, the sisters with the food. Now, this is very important. As you cook, as you prepare the food, what do you think? It's very easy for us when we are not serving on the pulpit as a worship leader, when we are not serving at the pulpit as a preacher. It is very easy for us that in the midst of serving the Lord, we forget the Word of God and we immerse ourselves in busyness. Now, try to meditate the Word of God while you're cooking, while you're preparing the food, because the Word of God is actually also recorded things that regarding to food. For example, we are in XICF, an international church from many countries, from various backgrounds. Some of us, we are converted, we believe in Christ, but our previous background, we are Buddhist, we are Muslim, we were Buddhist, we are Muslim. And we need to know one thing. Even as a Muslim, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, a Muslim might still find heart to take pork. As a pious Buddhist, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that person can still find very hard to take meat if he had been a vegetarian. He had been eating vegetables. He still finds very hard. So what does the Bible tell us about food? Whatever you do, whatever you eat, don't make the person stumble. Now you can prepare pork, you can prepare meat, but if you know for sure that some of us are vegetarians, then make sure you prepare vegetables. I'm not saying for myself. Don't judge me. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not speaking for myself because I was not a vegetarian. I'm speaking for us to have this conscience. Lord, I'm cooking today for women's fellowship, for men's fellowship. How am I going to cook for your glory? How am I going to prepare food so that I won't make anyone who has believed in the Lord stumble? Our ministering to the Lord, our services to the Lord has to be word saturated, based on the very Word of God, not just by head, from the bottom of your heart. Now, to be faithful to serve under His words, it's a very good reminder for us that before you want to encounter something spectacular from the Lord, it's good for us to look at the essence. If you go through all the miracles in the Bible, you'll find one thing. The very focus is not the wow phenomena. It's not the miraculous phenomena. The very essence, even when the Lord used miracle to speak to His people, even with thunders and fire, the very essence is the Word of God. The book of John says, miracles happen is because God used it so that you might believe. But it is impossible for the book of John to record all the things that Jesus had performed in this world. And all the miracles recorded in the book of John, the Greek word is signs. It's not a dynamic phrase to describe the miracles. It's a sign pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a sign? If you look at the road sign XICF of Wu Ying Tang, do you just stay on the side and say, I'm going to worship with a brother sister in Christ at this very crossroad? There's a sign to XICS here. No. You look at the sign and you walk as the signs direct you. So when we read the scriptures, yes, there are many great miracles. But all these miracles are signs pointing us, direct us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't stop at the miracle. Yes, the Lord might use miracles to speak to you. God might use in a very audible way to speak to you. But don't let You yourself stay at the very phenomenal experiences, but get back to the Word of God. And today, if you truly rooted on the Word of God, you serve faithfully. And the very first point, the sub point that I'm going to point out, what does it mean to serve faithfully under His Word? Yes, to serve faithfully under His Word means to be rooted on the Word of God, to serve based on the Word of God, as I just explained. But a very true important key here is to be faithful in the plain. Now, what does plain mean? By plain, I mean ordinary, simple, unnoticed duties of life. Look, once again, verse 1. Now the boy, Jesus, was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. There's a contrast there. The boy and Eli. In chapter 3, the Bible purposely removed the title priest from Eli because the Bible is ushering us to see that God is opening a way. Eli is fading. Samuel is being brought up to serve the Lord. But here we see there's a contrast, the boy and Eli. And he was ministering to the Lord. As I said, he need to open and close the door. He need to watch over the ornaments, the furnishing in the tabernacles. He need to tend the lamp every day. Make sure the lamp was lighting at night till the morning. He was faithful at the very first place as a boy. Unnoticed person at the back stage. Today, we have brothers operating PPT. We have sisters making sure the place are clean. These people are serving on the backstage, unnoticed. It's not a glamorous, eye-catching services in the eyes of man. But God treasures all these services if you're doing it by faith. Under His Word, not with grumbling, not with bitterness in your heart. You're doing it faithfully. It is very important. Before you want to hear the Lord speak, yes, you have to be a believer. Samuel was a believer, but he has been serving faithfully, unnoticed by the people. And second, he is faithful under strain. I purposely put plain and strain so that we can remember. But what I mean by strain is during dark time. Now, I believe all of us are lifted up when we sing to the Lord today. Because we have a good pastor, we have a good worship team. But I'm not sure what's going on in your own country, in your own churches, back in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Ghana, in India, in the US, in the United States of America. I'm not sure of your situation over there, but I want to point out one thing. When Samuel was faithfully serving under the very Word of God, he was faithful in the plain, he was faithful in the strain. Because at that time, as the words written here, the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. Now, vision means the word of God. There's no word of God. It's very rare. Very few pastors, very few judges. Eli can be counted as a large judge in the Bible, or Samuel, the large judge in the Bible, and the before God is about to restore the land. And if you look through the book of Judges, each time Israel is getting worse and worse, more wicked and more wicked. Everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. There's no word of God. And why there's no word of God? Because the people were not treasuring the word of God. They're living what is right according to their own eyes. They are being ignorant to the word of God. So God judged the Israel, taking away His word, as recorded in the book of Amos. There is a famine of word if the people reject the Lord. But God preserved His remnant. There is Samuel, who was faithfully serving under the word of God. I'm not sure how long we will stay in Xiamen. I'm not sure how was your churches back in your own country. I'm not sure how was your family, whether they are strong Christians or they are backslidden Christians. Many of us, we tend to get discouraged. If our loved one, our husband, our wife, our parents, our children, they are not a pious Christian, they rejected the Lord. Many of us will get discouraged if we attending a church and the church is getting worse and worse. There's no word of God. Very rare. We tend to get discouraged. But who knows? God is shaping you as God was shaping Samuel. Who knows? God allowed you to serve in the dark time under strain. Remain faithful. Remain faithful to serve the Lord under His word. And I'm very glad as I prepare the message. You know, God is so good to us because God does not just command us to be faithful. He actually gives us the reason to be faithful. He asks us to be faithful before the flame. This is the very reason. In verse 3, he says, "The Lamb of God had not yet gone up, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was." Now, on one level, if we read verse 2 and verse 3, we see that Eli, his eyesight has begun to grow dim. He's getting blind. And because of that, he had to sleep, lying down in his own place. He was forbidden to enter into the presence of God to sleep there. And he asked Samuel to sleep, to lie down in the temple of the Lord. Now, on one level, this tells us one thing. It's during the night. But spiritually, the detail is very powerful because when the Bible says that Eli's eyesight had grown dim, it means that he's actually losing his spiritual sight. Now, it doesn't mean that blind people are not spiritually good, no. I don't mean that. But when the Bible purposely records the conditions of Eli, and after that we see that Eli as a priest, he cannot tell that it was the Lord was calling Eli. And previously, if you look back chapter 2, we see that Eli failed to discipline his son. When the Bible purposely records a physical condition of a person, he has a spiritual meaning behind. He wants us to see now Eli is fading away. He is spiritually getting blinder and blinder. But here there's a very encouragement for all of us. Whenever how dark was your country, back in Malaysia, Indonesia, Ghana, United States of America, how dark were your churches back in your own country? Suppose if you were to go back one day, or suppose if you go back to minister to own family one day, or suppose you are living with your family now, and you're going to minister one day. Remember, no matter how dark the situation, the Lamb of God had not yet gone out. The Lamb signifies God's continuing presence. And had not yet gone out hints that God was still working towards restoration. Why? Because had not yet gone out, it gave us a picture that the Lamb of God seemingly very dim, very weak. He points to us this very verse, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. The Lord, who does not quench the faintly burning wick, was about to restore Israel through Samuel. He was about to restore your family. He was about to restore your country. He was about to restore the United States of America. He was about to restore Ghana, Indonesia, Malaysia. He was about to restore your family. The flame was thin, but still burning. Eli was fading, but the Lord was still working. The God who does not quench the faintly burning wick was about to call Samuel and bring his word back to Israel. Now, being faithful before the flame does not just having hope in God, knowing that God is about to turn things around, knowing that for sure God is about to turn the things around. It actually has another meaning. It means that to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, the word lying down doesn't just mean a person lie down on the sofa or on a bench. It literally means that Sam was sleeping, was resting. But here the emphasis is that he was resting in the presence of God. So if we have been faithfully, if you have been faithfully serving under his words, if you have been faithfully reading the word of God, praying according, responding to the word of God, no matter what your situations, back in your country, in your family, in your workplace, no matter how chaotic the situations back then, you will find rest in the presence of God. Now, Pastor Perry reminded me and brother sisters in a meeting. He said, Christians, you need to sleep. And I remember John Piper said one similar thing. He means that as a Christian, when you sleep, it is actually putting faith in God. Now, this strikes me as a Chinese because many Chinese churches, we emphasize serving, serving, serving. But if you truly have the Word of God, you'll find rest in a chaotic situation. And one thing that we can see is in the life of King David. He was surrounded by enemies, thousands and thousands of enemies, brought by his son Absalom to want to pursue him, want to take his life away from him. And King David wrote Psalm chapter 3. He saw that although he was surrounded by enemies, what he sees is beyond the physical sight. He saw the Lord was the shield around him. The Lord was his glory, and the Lord was the lifter of his head. And he continued saying, I lay down, I sleep, for the Lord sustain me, preserve. He was surrounded with many things, but he knew the Lord was with him. Reading the Word of God, prepare yourself to listen to the Word of God. Reading the Word of God is actually finding rest in the presence of God. We need to rest, shalom, sabbath, in the presence of God. And that gets us ready to listen to His Word. You know why? Because all of us, many of us, we are preoccupied with the messages, with the notifications and the phone. We need to find time, set time apart to rest in His presence. And you see in the Bible, often God speaks at night when nobody else was around. My second point is to be ready to listen to His word. First is to be faithful to serve under His word and get you ready to listen to His word. Now let us focus on Samuel listening to the calling of God. First of all, he says, the Lord called Samuel and he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call, lie down again." So he went and lay down. Now we need to bear in mind, Samuel was lying down, laying down, means he was sleeping in the temple of God. But once he listened to the voice of God calling him, although he did not yet know that it was the Lord, he responded spontaneously, ran to Eli. Now I remember when I was small, when I was 4 or 5 years old, when my parents brought me to walk around in Penang Island, or we have some vacations. On the way, when my parents driving us back, like as a child, as a boy, like I can fall asleep. I fall asleep at 9, at 10. By the time when my parents brought me home, drove me home, my fathers woke me up. And I'm not sure whether you have similar experience, but when my fathers woke me up, I felt very frustrated. I felt the nonsense anger against my father because I was asleep. I was asleep. But Samuel, when the Lord called him, he was not crumbling with the eyes half open, half closed, and said, "Is somebody calling me?" and pretend to sleep and say to Eli next day, I didn't hear that you're calling me." Samuel didn't do that. He ran to Eli. Now, was Samuel awake at that time? I believe not. He was asleep, literally sleeping. It doesn't mean that Samuel was like nurses in the hospital, need to be attentive at all times. What it means here is that Samuel has been cultivating the habits of serving the Lord faithfully under His word. So when he heard somebody calling him, even though when he was asleep, he will hear and get up from bed. Sometimes God calls you at night. But are you willing to get up from your bed and read the Bible and pray? We need to be responsive to His word. And second, we need to be submissive to the word. Verse 10, he says, "And the Lord came and stood and calling it as other times, Samuel, Samuel," and Samuel said, "Speak, for the servant hears." Now before that, we see that the Bible records Samuel had not yet known the Lord. I've already explained, he believed the Lord, but had not yet known the Lord means that he had not yet heard the Lord in an audible way. God had not called him as a prophet. But he's very submissive. He takes heed of what Eli said. "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So when the fourth time the Lord came and stood calling him, Samuel responded, "Speak, for your servant hears." In the Hebrews, hears or listen means to be submissive to the word of God. Samuel was listening to the word of God with a servant posture. And to be as a servant, receiving the word of God, means that he received the whole counsel of God. Because the very word of God is going to strike Samuel, is about judgment that God was about to bring to the households of Eli. And Samuel was ready to receive the prophecy of judgment. I once ministered to a sister. Of course, not alone. It's very important not to go to a sister alone. With your co-workers and with other people, I ministered to a sister. The sister said, "I just claim the promises of God in the Bible. At a warning judgment, I'll get rid of it. I don't read all these things." No. If you want to listen to God speaking to you, be a servant be ready to receive the whole counsel of God, including judgment, including warning. Because when you receive the judgment, the intention of God is not for you to perish, but for you to come to repentance. The intention of the Lord for Samuel was not for Samuel to go to Eli and say, "Here, God is going to judge you. I'm going to take over your place." No, Samuel was not going to Eli and said, "God is judging you," with a cold heart. Because Samuel, when he's going to bring out this very judgment news to Eli, he came with a tender heart, with a fearful heart. He loved Eli. He came with a heart that loved for Eli, that fear for Eli to fall under the hand of God. But at the same time, Samuel so faithfully proclaimed the very whole counsel of God, including the judgment. When God mentioned judgment to you and to anyone, He wants us to take time to respond to Him. "Lord, forgive me. I sinned against you." This is the posture of a servant before the Lord, ready to receive the Lord, the word of God. Be responsive, be submissive, and not only Samuel received the whole counsel of God, he is ready to live out, to speak the word of judgment on the very next day. Now the question is this: how do we listen to His word today? Do we still listen to the word of God in a very audible way? Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 to 2 says, "Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in this last day, He has spoken to us by His Son." What does it mean, God spoke to us by the prophets? It's the very words that we have just read. God spoke to us by His prophets, Samuel, and other prophets in the Bible. All the prophetic words are now written in the very word of God, the Bible. And in this last day, He has spoken to us by His Son. It means that all the words that were given to us, the scripture, the Bible that was given to us, is pointing ultimately to the central person, Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. The very word became flesh. So we need to cultivate the habits. See Christ as you read the word of God. And secondly, it says, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. "All scriptures is breathed out by God, profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness." It is the word breathed out by God. It is a very pneuma or ruah from the very breath of God. We receive it by faith. And we have gone through a series of the teaching of the Spirit for many Sundays before that. We know one thing in the book of Joel. When the prophecy is fulfilled, the people are filled with the word of God. They are speaking in tongues, yet in the book of Acts, all these tongues are heard by the people from 16 places. It's all about good news. They said they are proclaiming the mighty works of God. And now the words are written down. All scriptures are breathed out by God. Profitable for teaching, receiving teaching, open our hearts to be reproved, to be corrected. And training in righteousness means that you go on and on, faithfully living out the words, faithfully serving under the word of God. And finally, we see one thing. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in the name of Jesus, He will teach all of us and bring all of us to remembrance all that Jesus has taught us. The Word of God are Jesus' words. All that Jesus has taught us. So as we read the Word of God faithfully, we will listen to the very voice of God. Sometimes in an audible way, but ultimately, I remind all of us, never put emphasis on the inner very phenomenal experience. But the very essence is the very Word of God. The very Word of God. I share with you very one experience, how I listen to God's voice. Now, during a church camp, I have a duty to make sure that everyone under my care, they brought the things that they needed, that the church camps needed to the camp. Now, the camp was on Sunday, and we need to go to the destination, to the place where we hold our church camp after the church service. And the durations of the journey is about 1.5 hours. And after, I'm making sure that everyone has brought the belongings and the things that the church needs for the church camp. I drove them there to the location, to the destination. And you know what? Once I arrived at the destination, I start to realize that I've forgotten to bring my very own clothes. I made sure everyone brought theirs, but I forgot mine. I felt very frustrated. And I read to you, all the events have finished at night. I drove back and take my clothes and get back to the place, the church camp. Along the way, as I drove back, I start to meditate. Why I felt so frustrated? The reason for me to get frustrated, the root cause for me to get frustrated, was not the fact that I had forgotten to bring my clothes. No! The root cause of my frustration was my arrogance. Because I thought that I will never make such a stupid mistake. The very fact that I've forgotten is just to review the root cause of my frustration, arrogance, the sins of arrogance in my heart. Because the Word of God says, what comes forth from mouth proceeds from the heart. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to you, sometimes in an audible way, sometimes in your heart, but the essence is not the experience. The essence is the very Word of God. If you heard something, examine the voice with the Word of God. With the Word of God. So here is a diagram. The Holy Spirit speaks the Bible to us as we read the Bible. As you and I read the Bible, by faith, the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your devotions. The Holy Spirit make you realize some truth. And sometimes, if you have been faithfully applying, living out the truth, the very Word of God in your life, serving faithfully under His Word, in a special occasion, God will speak to you, and you need to be faithful and to be ready to receive His Word. I sincerely hope that all of us will listen to the Word of God. Like Samuel, before God called him orderly. I hope all of us will start cultivating the habits, reading the Word of God every day, praying, responding to the Word of God every day, and serve faithfully under the Word of God every day, and be ready to listen to the voice of God, to the Word of God. Let us read the key verse once again. 1, 2, 3. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. I pass the time to Pastor Perry to lead us to close in prayer.
Amen, 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 amen. God is good. God is good. I believe so much we've been blessed by the Word, and it's a strong reminder to focus on God's Word and to trust that the Lord speaks to us even in the light of His Word. Amen.